Affairs Democratic Talk Radio is sponsored in part by www.algoreisourpresident.com. AlGoreIsOurPresident.com is a sponsor of Democratic Talk Radio, not because the election was a close one, nor because Al Gore didn't prevail, or even because we are unhappy with the Republican administration, which we are. Rather, we are a sponsor because we believe Al Gore did win both the popular vote and the electorate. This rightful victory was denied, however, as the final tally of votes was circumvented by the Supreme Court when they halted the legal hand count, thus giving the White House to their own personal choice for president. Democracy was dealt a terrible blow. Our goal is a simple one, to be a positive voice for those who support our truly elected president, Al Gore, to share articles, full motion campaign video, some great downloads, and a few laughs, to help us remember our president and the positive things he would have worked so hard to accomplish for us. We also offer a full line of re-elect Gore in 2004 merchandise items to keep a future Al Gore presidential run both visible and tangible, like t-shirts, bumper stickers, pins, and much, much more to come. Please visit us at www.algoreisourpresident.com. Our website, as well as the Democratic Talk Radio website, was designed by Accent Design Studios, which can be reached at www.accentdesign.com. AlGoreIsOurPresident.com wishes to thank them and you for your support of our site and all Democratic efforts wherever they may be.
And good evening, and welcome to Democratic Talk Radio. My name is Al Lawrence with my co-host, Stephen Crockett.
Welcome, folks.
Thanks for joining us, and we have got a great hour lined up for you. Of course, we're going to be talking about Democratic principles and our ongoing battle against the Republicans. And, of course, we have a lot of ground to cover this evening, Steve.
Sure. We're coming up on the first anniversary of the stolen election.
It's just next week, that's right, because today is the 8th day of December, and of course on December the 12th is the day that the Supreme Court handed down their unprecedented decision, Bush v. Gore.
Right. I actually went on the site this past week, coming up on the anniversary, and read the rulings and the opinions and the dissents and everything.
It's been a while since I've read them. I haven't read them, I think, since summer.
Right. And it was a real eye-opener to once again sit there and go through the dissenting opinions, and you can see how the minority decision, the four guys that voted against installing Bush, basically, as our president-elect, that these guys really were following the law and the tradition that the Supreme Court has always followed. And I want to point out something to folks. That wasn't four Democrats who did that. That was two Democrats and two Republicans.
Right.
The Supreme Court has seven Republicans on it.
Right, and only two Democrats.
And only two Democrats.
That's a good point, Steve, because two of those dissenting voices were Republicans.
Right.
And the other five, the ones that favored Bush, were Republicans and very, very partisan.
Yes, exactly. And that's what I'm saying. Some, and I want to point out to our Democratic listeners, some Republicans really do believe in the institution of democracy. It just, unfortunately, doesn't seem to be the ones that are controlling the Republican Party.
The leadership are thieves and liars, Steve.
Right. And we know that. We also know that there are some good guys like John McCain.
Right.
Whereas we sometimes disagree with John, he certainly is a honorable man.
Right. That's right. He is and there are others, too. Hagel, in some cases, is an honorable man, although he can be extremely conservative on some issues.
Right.
But for the most part, he tries to be a good Republican, I guess. It's kind of a contradiction in term, but
a semi-voice of reason.
Except, thank you. Thank
you know, I also want to point out Arlen Specter.
Senator Specter, right.
Now, on most issues, I disagree with Arlen Specter vehemently. But when it comes to, like, these, what I consider unconstitutional things that John Ashcroft are doing, Arlen Specter has been very good.
And has voiced his concerns loudly.
Yes.
And that is so refreshing to hear something other than the party line coming from Republicans. You know, because within the Democratic Party, Steve, we are known worldwide for our dissenting viewpoints, even within our own party.
Right.
But in the Republican Party, you never hear that. I mean, it's very, very seldom. That's why John McCain gets so much publicity, is because he often goes against the grain of the current Republican leadership.
Right. And, you know, one thing I'd like to cover today when we get a chance to go to, well, certainly we need to talk about these measures, Ashcroft's testimony in the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you something, there are many things actually out there. One of the things I think that besides the stolen election that we might want to do is the stimulus package. You wanted to mention that briefly.
Right.
You're kind of upset about that.
I'm extremely upset over the emptying of the U.S. Treasury to corporate coffers.
Right. I view this basically as corporate war profiteering.
Right. That's
right. And the Republicans are behind it.
They certainly are. And let me tell you something. The large broadcast media outlets are in complete culpability with them.
Right. And I also want to talk about fast-track trade legislation, if we have time.
Okay, but before...
That only passed the House by one vote.
That's right. That was a very close vote, and we're going to talk about that. But before we get too far off track, I want to get started about the stolen elections.
Okay, let's go.
Okay? And, you know, of course, right up until this, almost this very day, November the 7th of last year, is when the election took place, and the controversy was continuing all through this week. And in fact, these last days from right now until the December the 12th were some of the most tension-filled days during that entire crisis.
Exactly.
And it seemed, I mean, it was a roller coaster ride. We went from highs and lows when the Florida Supreme Court decided to go ahead and have a complete recount statewide. We thought that, hey, there's a chance that we can actually get the right men, that there's a chance, well, we're going to count the votes, and the right person that got enough votes is going to be the next president. That's what mostly Democrats were concerned about.
You know what? That was actually in one of the dissenting opinions as what would have been a reasonable solution for this.
Right.
You know, they said even though time is short, they should have mandated a statewide recount and made sure everybody's votes was counted. The arguments that the majority gave was that there wasn't, the way the process was set up, there wasn't equal protection under the law for the way the ballots were counted because they were standardless, which they had standards, but they weren't uniform statewide. And this judge said the U.S. Supreme Court should remand this, which means to send it back to the Florida Supreme Court. And with instructions, and the instructions would have been to establish a uniform standard
and to
recount the entire state.
Steve, in my view, that was the only constitutional way to proceed.
And it's what I think that, and frankly, as a tactic, that's actually what Gore should have requested from the beginning.
The only other correct constitutional procedure out of that didn't include a recount would have been to send separate electors up to the Congress and had a political battle within the Congress, which is why the U.S. Supreme Court said that they made the decision that they did to spare the country of the constitutional process that's laid out in the Constitution.
Well, that was also pointed out in the dissents, that there was mechanisms for dealing
it's
with this.
It's fully laid out there in very stark detail, Steve.
Right. So actually, that was actually in a different dissent, okay, that was pointed out. So, but the justice that did this said that uniform standards, statewide recount. Now, I want to point out something. This newspaper consortium that did a statewide recount did exactly that. And when the statewide recount was done, Gore won.
Right.
And the headlines in the paper said Bush would have won anyway, not if they had followed what this judge in the Supreme Court suggested and what most of the judges in the four would have supported.
And what that points out, Steve, is the culpability of the corporate media.
Right.
By them lying about the facts that were uncovered during the NORC recount, their culpability, the large media outlets, their culpability in the stealing of this election, and now the regime that's in power, they're just as guilty as the Supreme Court, in my view, and the Bush administration itself.
What they really concluded, what they gave their headlines from, was one version out of four different ways that you could have recounted the entire state.
I heard there was eight.
Well, there was only one where Bush won, and that would have actually... It's ironic, but that was actually the one that Gore asked for. would have actually been the only one where Bush would have won.
And it was by an even smaller margin, wasn't it?
It was by a much tighter margin than Bush won.
Which was incredibly tight to begin with.
Right. I believe it was only a little over 100 votes.
Right. Oh, 172 or something, or 137 or something like that. But anyways, very, very close.
Yeah, under 200.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which I believe the state was decided officially by 500 and some votes, was it?
Now those were the legal votes that they counted. Now, there's a great question about some votes that were made illegal, but should have been counted, Steve.
And those
numbered into the thousands.
Right. That's what they called the overvote.
Right.
Okay. Now, there was also another problem that was not addressed in this, and that was counting military ballots. They did not, in the Torsham recount, kick out where we know for a fact that soldiers voted twice or voted deliberately after the election. They've even admitted to journalists
right.
that they did this.
Right.
And I want to point something else out, which will take us to a segue a little bit later about John Ashcroft. John Ashcroft, as Attorney General, should have been investigating that. That's federal election fraud. John Ashcroft should at least been investigating those people who have admitted to the media that they voted twice, or admitted to the media that they voted after the election on military ballots and then had
right.
them counted.
Well, you're not going to see that, Steve.
Well, if he doesn't do that, he's not doing his job, and he should be removed from office for that. But let's jump into some John Ashcroft's testimony here.
Right, and I tell you what, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, well, actually, one more thing before we do that.
Right.
About the stolen election. Don't you have a phenomenal interview coming up December 11th, the day before?
That's right. The day coming up this Tuesday, December the 11th, Bob Furtick from Democrats.com is going to be my guest here on Democratic Talk Radio. Looking forward to it very much. Bob Furtick, of course, a great activist and co-founder of Democrats.com, the largest daily Democratic newsletter in the country.
And for all you folks out there who've been sending us emails asking to put Bob on, Bob's already been on.
He's already been on, right.
He's welcome back anytime, including any of the other guys from Democrats.com. We also have a lot of interesting email came in, and we'll get to some of that. The John Ashcroft testimony was before the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Right.
Right.
Which Senator Pat Lee, he is the chairperson from Vermont.
Right, and during that thing, John Ashcroft basically said that anybody, this is my words, not his, this is my interpretation of what he said, that basically anybody who's criticizing the administration on any issue challenging them on civil liberties is a fearmonger and is assisting the terrorist.
Right. Aiding and abetting is what he's called, is almost what he's accusing us of, Steve.
Right. And let me point something else to them. During the testimony for the U.S. Patriot Act, they said, oh, this stuff will never apply to, you know, the normal things. It's only for the terrorists. Well, under his interpretation of who's assisting the terrorists, if you're a Democrat or if you're a civil libertarian, even if you're a Republican civil libertarian, and you're concerned and express your concern about these military tribunals, about
Justice Department policies,
about sneak and peek, which means that they can come in and basically get any partisan judge to give them a court order, come in, break in your house or your business, bug it,
put a tap on your computer that any keystroke.
Right.
They know exactly what
they can tap your internet. They can tap your phone lines.
And then leave without you even knowing it. And having to tell you.
Right. And photocopy all your documents. So, frankly, if you're a Democratic activist anywhere in the country, you should now be demanding John Ashcroft be removed. Because what his interpretation as a top law enforcement official in the country is that because we are who we are and we're not Bush Republicans and we're not totally in support of them on civil liberties, that you're an enemy of the state, basically, and that they can come in and tap you and everything else. You know, this interpretation says the Watergate burglaries were legal.
Basically.
This interpretation says the Ellsberg burglary with the Pentagon Papers was legal.
Typical Republicanism, Steve.
We learned under Richard Nixon and during the Vietnam War and through the Watergate era that politics can get really dirty and that you can distort democracy. You can almost destroy democracy. And that's basically what
Steve,
I see happening.
That's what many Democrats and many people to think just like you and I, and there are activists all across this country that feel this in their Democratic hearts down to their bone. And I tell you what, ever since December the 12th, when they stole the election, I thought, uh-oh, boy, I tell you what, any party that would do this to take power and to hold it is something that every American should be afraid of.
Yeah, this is to me a major step towards turning America into a fascist country.
I'm not fear-mongering. Let me tell you something.
That's not fear-mongering.
There's very little that I'm afraid of, Steve. And that's the truth. But I tell you what, the Republican administration and the draconian measures that this administration wants to implement upon the American people, and all in the name of the war effort and this war on terror, I tell you what, I may have mentioned on the website, I am more afraid of John Ashcroft than I am any kind of terrorist.
I am too, because I think he's a bigger threat to our democracy. And it's something actually, let's talk about September 11th and December 12th. It just occurred to me that we had the greatest assaults on the American way of life and our political system
10 months apart
in 1 year for two centuries.
Right.
It was the last days of the 20th century when the Supreme Court handed the election to the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm. You see, now, I think that this party would have tried to circumvent civil rights and do these kinds of things through the Justice Department anyway, Steve. I think that they were just waiting for something to give them this kind of impetus.
Well,
this terrorist
September
attack
11th was the biggest assault of the 21st century. And probably, it's my prediction, that there will not be a greater threat to our democracy in the rest of the 21st century than what actually happened in the first year.
The year 2000.
In the year 2001.
And 2001.
2001.
Mm-hmm.
Because the century, you know, for most of us, the century start 2001.
Right, right.
So, you know, you're technical. You call 2000 the last, the beginning of the
century. Well, I was referring to from the elections.
Yeah.
I mean, because they stole, republicanism is the greatest threat.
Well,
Steve, in my view, this form of republicanism.
Bush republicanism.
Right, this form of it, with the current leadership, the corporate cartel, what I like to call them, they're the biggest threat to our democracy.
Ever. Because they're actually trying to use the language and excuses of protecting America to destroy what America is about. That there's nothing.
According to my history books, that's called totalitarianism, Steve.
Right. You know, this reminds me of it's the mindset of these guys. Think of that.
Okay, but you know,
if you're criticizing Bush or you're criticizing Ashcroft on civil liberties, you're some kind of terrorist. I mean, that's nuts.
Right.
Molly, now, I'm beginning to, and I said this on the website, and I'm standing by it. I doubt Ashcroft's sanity. For him to even make a statement like that.
The man needs to be fired.
He needs to be institutionalized.
He needs to be fired.
He needs, you know, a little bit of sensitivity
and
training, too.
I'm still upset, Steve, that they let him go through with the nomination.
And they should not have done
that. That should not, never have happened.
Because us critics, we saw this happening.
Right.
Why don't you remember this little Molly Ivins article, column that just came out recently?
Right.
Why don't you give a little bit of that?
Okay, this is Molly Ivins' interpretation of John Ashcroft, and we love Molly.
Yes, we do. This was reprinted from the Chicago Tribune.
Right, it says
somebody posted on our site.
It starts off, "We're all suspects if Ashcroft has his way," by Molly Ivins. "With all due respect, of course, and God bless America too, has anyone considered the possibility that the U.S. Attorney General is becoming unhinged? Poor John Ashcroft is under a lot of strain here. Is it possible his mind has started to give under the weight of responsibility? What with having to stop terrorism between innings against doctors trying to help the dying in Oregon and California? Why not take a Valium, sir, and go track down some nice domestic nut with access to anthrax, okay? Not content with the noxious USA Patriot Bill for United and Strengthening America by providing appropriate tools required to intercept and obstruct terrorism act, ERP, which was bad enough, Ashcroft has steadily moved from bad to worse. Now he wants to bring back FBI surveillance or domestic religious and political Now he wants to bring back FBI surveillance of domestic religious and political groups. That's you and me, Steve.
Right. And that's not just you and me. Hey, if you belong to a party organization in your home county, if you might be a
Green Party member, libertarian.
If you might be a card-carrying member of the American Civil Liberties Union, look out.
Anything but Republican or Christian.
Well, not just that either, Al.
Even Christians. He'll even go after Christians.
He'll go after any kind of Christian group that's not part of that right-wing Christian, which I consider anti-Christian, non-Christian.
That doesn't fit that very narrow ideology that they have.
His definition of what a Christian is.
Right.
I'm a devout Christian. You know that. Believe me, the Christianity that I support comes from the Bible and the teachings of Christ, not from the Republican Party.
Christianity that he purports comes from his own ego.
It comes from the Republican Party. That's all it is.
Okay, well, this goes on to say that for those who remember Contelpro, this is glorious news. Back in the day, fearless Phoebes, cleverly disguised in their wingtips and burr haircuts, used to infiltrate such dangerous groups as the Southern Christian Leadership Conference and the Business Executives Against the War in Vietnam. This had the usual comedic fallout along with killing a few innocent people and was so berserk there was a standing rule on the left that anyone who proposed breaking any law was automatically assumed to be an FBI agent. That's pretty funny.
That is funny.
Let's see, she goes on to say, who might the federal FOSDIC spy upon today? Columnist Tom Friedman of the New York Times recently reported from Pakistan that hateful Taliban types are teaching in religious schools. The faithful shall enter paradise and the unbelievers shall be condemned to eternal hellfire. Frightful! Put the Baptists on the list! Molly, she's funny.
Yeah.
Well, those who agitate against the government, constantly denigrating and opposing it, add Tom DeLay, Dick Armey, and Rush Limbaugh to the list because that's exactly what they do. This is such a... Ashcroft's policies are such a contradiction even to the own Republican ideals that he is proposing or
been a supporter of.
Right, been a supporter of.
Well, you understand that basically even what is a good Republican, Bush and Ashcroft want to define what that is.
Right.
So folks out there, if you think you're a Republican listener and you think you want to, that you're right on the mark with the Republican Party, to John Ashcroft, you might be a terrorist and a traitor,
right,
too.
In fact, you probably are. you might want to go over that list because it's going to be a short one.
Right. And you better think twice when the 2004 election comes up whether you want to still give these people your support.
Right. You better think more than twice about it. In fact,
because I'm going to say this, and Molly didn't say this. This is my words. John Ashcroft and Bush are pursuing un-American policies.
They really are, Steve. Yeah. I'm very, very, very concerned about where this is going.
And I'm coming from my love of civil liberties, I have a really hard time accusing anybody of being un-American. But these procedures, when you turn, like right now, we're in a crisis. In a crisis, America's tradition has been to turn to America's political traditions and turn to our political institutions and turn to our Constitution, all the things that make us such a great nation, and these guys are turning on those same institutions.
Right.
What's conservative about that?
Right. There's nothing conservative about it, Steve.
That is fascism.
Right. Fascism, totalitarianism.
You know?
It really is. In its truest sense.
If you're a good conservative, and you're not just some Republican hack who will follow a party line, if you're a good conservative, you need to write Bush and tell him, I'm a good conservative, get Johnny Ashcroft out of office.
Right. Right. Very good.
Go ahead.
Well, Molly Ivins goes on to say that following the J. Edgar Hoover rule, anyone who criticized Hoover or the FBI was automatically targeted as a suspect. Boy, that's Ashcroft right there.
It sure is.
He is the J. Edgar Hoover who's now in charge of the Justice Department.
Right.
Well, she says that we need to add the FBI Alumni Association. According to the Washington Times, a half dozen former FBI top guns, including once director William Webster, have voiced their dismay at Ashcroft's strategy of detention and interview rather than prolonged investigation and surveillance of those suspected of terrorism. That is an excellent point, Steve.
Right.
Instead of arresting or doing this blanket arrest with over 1,000 people, why don't they surveil them?
Right. Now, first of all, you find out more.
Right, exactly. You find out what they're doing, who they're talking to, who they've been talking to.
And there's different kinds of surveillance. Now, people will say, oh, well, some of these guys were under surveillance, but they were under very loose.
Very loose.
Put some tight surveillance. There were surveillances on some of the Nixon's critics where they couldn't have went to the bathroom without there being an FBI file on it.
Right. Well, former FBI Director William Webster, he goes on to say that they contend that the new plan will fail to eliminate terrorist networks and cells, leaving the roots to carry on. The harsh criticism seems calculated to take advantage of growing concerns in Congress about harsh criticism. But the ex-FBI agents on the list come to that. Growing concerns? Put Congress on that list, too.
Yeah. Right.
That's exactly what he's done already. He's already called some congressmen on the carpet for what they believe are divulging what they consider secrets.
Yeah, most of the stuff they're talking about secrets is on CNN.
Right.
You know?
Right. In my view, unclassified stuff.
And actually, there's a lot of stuff classified that shouldn't be classified. And that's also something that Nixon used a lot of.
Right.
Nixon had a secret plan for locking up like 100,000 people in a stadiums, you know, for civil disobedience, for protesting against the war. And they did do one major round.
You know what I'm really concerned about, Steve, is what if public dissent picks up over the Bush administration policies and people actually do start protesting, peacefully protesting, which is our constitutional right. What is going to be the Bush and the Ashcroft reaction? That's what concerns me, because their strong arm tactics during the election process, and their seemingly buddy buddy with strong arm tactic as far as eroding our civil rights, there's no telling what might happen, Steve.
This is true.
And I'm not just trying to instill fear. These are concerns that not just me, but Democratic activists all across this country have.
Look, it's not fear-mongering when there's something going on you should be afraid of.
Right.
I'm going to say that again. One more time for you. You might have missed it. It's not fear-mongering if something's going on you should be afraid of. If a guy's in your parking lot shooting at your house or your business with an AK-47 and you're not afraid, you're crazy.
You're an idiot.
you know? And constitutionally, this is what Ashcroft is doing. Our civil liberties, our freedoms as Americans are under assault by our own Attorney General.
Right.
And
the Bill of Rights.
And I want to say something else, because Bush is really popular now, and this is something that needs said. John Ashcroft isn't doing anything that Bush is not telling him to do. While we direct this to John Ashcroft, it's because he holds that particular position, but I think he's parroting exactly what George W. believes. And
right.
If he wasn't, he would not be Attorney General. And when he was in the testimony on the Senate hearing, it's confirmation thing, he said he would be the people's Attorney General, not the president's lawyer.
Well, that was a lie.
That was a lie. In my opinion, that was a lie.
And what does this tell us about our leader?
It tells us that our leader holds the same anti-democratic small d views against democracy, in my opinion.
That's right. Well, how many times has he said now that dictatorship is easier? It's been three.
Right.
Three times he said it.
You know, it's just awful.
I mean, you know, it's one thing to say things off the cuff, Steve, you know, but when
you don't repeat them.
You don't repeat them, and especially something like that. Unbelievable. You want me to go ahead and finish this article?
If you want.
Okay, well, she just goes on to say that she cannot commend too strongly those hardy, tough-minded citizens ready to sacrifice all of our civil rights in the fight against terrorism. It's clear to them that anyone speaking up for civil liberties is on the side of the terrorists, and that's the kind of thinking that has earned syllogism and the reputation that enjoys today. Some of us are making lists and checking them twice to see who stood with us on this particular St. Crispin's Day. And when next you see Federalist Society types in some debate over, say, strict construction, we'll be happy to remind you how much you really care when the chips are down. With the honorable exception of the libertarian right, William Sapphire, and Representative Bob Barr, the entire conservative movement is missing in action, and so are a lot of pious liberals.
This is true.
And what could be better than the insouciance with which the Attorney General himself approaches the Constitution? During his 6 years in the Senate, he tried to propose no fewer than 7 constitutional amendments. Since we've only managed to amend it 17 times in the last 200 years, and that's leaving out the Bill of Rights, it's a pretty impressive record from old John. Of course, one of John Ashcroft's proposed amendments was to make it easier to amend. Another was the always helpful flag-burning amendment, which, had it been in effect, would have done so much to prevent those terrorist attacks. Yep, if we had a constitution largely written by John Ashcroft, as opposed to the one that we're stuck with by such Picayune minds as Madison, Washington, Franklin, Hamilton, we'd be a lot safer today, according to Molly, wouldn't we? How, you ask? Well, for example, there's, at least we could have a better visa system. So what if that has nothing to do with the Constitution? Picky, picky, picky. In this fight for our cherished freedoms, those cherished freedoms should definitely be the first thing to go. Sieg Heil, y'all!
Exactly. You know what? I have a suggestion for John Ashcroft for a little decorating thing at the Justice Department, and Bush can use it in the White House, too. When you go to your bathroom, since it fits you with your political philosophy, why don't you get toilet paper made up with the Bill of Rights on it?
Well, because it seems to be what he's doing with it, huh?
Exactly.
Okay, well, on that note, we're going to take just a real quick break, and we'll be...
You know, yeah, I mean, a great column by Molly.
It sure was.
Hey, I want to remind folks, on our link page, there's a link to Molly Ivins.
Right.
And I would highly recommend you...
We have one of the... By the way, we have one of the best Democratic link pages on the net today. We really do. I mean, we just... Lots of links and lots of great places for progressives and Democrats to go out and get the information that's out there, because it's out there, Steve.
Sure.
And the problem that I see that the Democratic Party is having is getting this message on mainstream large broadcast media outlets and also large print outlets, because unfortunately they are corporate owned. And all this stuff about a liberal media is a complete lie. It has been for many years. It's bought and paid for by the Republican Party and vice
big
versa.
Big business. Because listen, and here,
GE, Time Warner.
For those of you who don't believe this, there's been $2 trillion worth of tax break. Almost all go to the really wealthy and to corporate America.
Right.
Okay. There's almost nothing for you working stiffs out there.
Middle and lower class people have gotten shafted on this deal once again.
Big
and you know
time.
what really jerks my chain over this, Steve, is even though the Republicans were still trying to stop the middle and lower classes during the Clinton administration from rising up a little bit, because the Republicans were in power from 94 on, we were starting to see some increases in the standard of living for some of these lower income people towards the end of the great economic
boom.
Okay, and we were starting to see a rise.
It was because of the Clinton White House.
Right. That's right. In spite of the Republican fights to stop this, their standard of living was starting to come back up. Well, now it has stopped once again, and under the Bush administration, it's going to plummet.
It's declining already. And I want to point something else out to folks. This alternative minimum tax for corporations is part of this economic stimulus thing that they're pushing. Now, what the House pushed through was a retroactive thing to the time that started. And it started because Ronald Reagan started this tax on corporations. Ronald Reagan was very, very proud of this. This is one of his greatest achievements. Bush has turned on Ronald Reagan.
Right.
And the reason this came up is General Electric was paying zero
taxes,
federal taxes. Okay? Zero. And that's the largest corporation in America.
Right. A lot of large corporations had been getting away with that for a long time.
So what does Bush want to do? He wants to go back to the time it started.
1988.
And give them back all that money.
All of it.
All of it. Okay? Folks, do you hear any Republicans out there at all who are advocating you getting all your tax money back since 1988?
The silence is
deafening.
You ain't a kidding. What that should tell every single American about what the Republican Party values, Steve?
The Bush Republicans. You know, if you're a good Republican out there, either leave your party or take control of it. You know?
Start writing letters. Because this is not the Republican Party that you might think that it is. Now, if this is what you want, then you're in the right spot.
Right.
But if you're like most Americans,
if you want to pay all,
being duped.
If you want to carry the cost of the government so big business doesn't have to do nothing at all, ever, even though they're the ones to get the most benefits out of government.
Out of the society.
Out of our society altogether, then you got the right guys. If you're a person who thinks that monopolies
corporations shouldn't pay anything,
that monopolies are cool,
and that they shouldn't have to have any kind of restrictions based upon their products or their the way that they treat their employees or how much profits they make or anything.
That just that they could price gouge you on electric or gasoline or anything else, and you have to take it. Or if you happen to be one of those people who think that if you get sick, the government should do nothing for you.
Or if you're discriminated against, hey, they don't want you here anyways.
Yeah. You know?
You know, if you're sick, so what? Can't find a job? Too bad. You get discriminated against, they don't want you here anyway, Steve.
Right. And or if you're one of those people who don't care if your vote gets counted, you're in the right place.
Then the Bush Republicans are for you.
But actually, if you vote for the Bush Republicans, your vote will probably get counted.
Yeah. Well, we're still...
In fact, they might get counted several times.
We're still working on just getting ours counted once, aren't we?
Yes.
I mean, you would think that after the debacle of the elections, which was one of the greatest crises this country has ever had, including 9-1-1, in my opinion, which was horrendous, okay? But granted, over 3,000 people have been killed, but also we've lost our democracy, Steve.
Well,
almost.
It's under threat.
It's under a great threat.
It's
right
on
now.
Life support.
That's right.
Hey, I want to ask you, Al, maybe you can give me this question. How much money was in the economic stimulus package to buy new voting equipment?
Zero.
Really?
Zero. Not one dime.
So basically what you're saying is that even though we found out the last election there was absolute that the system really discriminates heavily
broken.
Against African Americans and poor working people and Latinos and, you know, lower middle class white people, that they didn't do it, they're not going to do anything
right.
about
they
it.
They care more about paying GE $1.4 million or IBM $1.2
billion. Yeah, billion.
Right,
I said million on the first one. Billion.
Pardon me, billion dollars
now,
with a B.
I heard the estimate for fixing that would be the same amount of money the top five corporations would get back on this alternative minimum tax
right.
would be more than enough money to buy brand new optical scanning
voting equipment for every district in the country.
Right.
Every district.
Wouldn't that provide just about as much stimulus?
And the education materials needed to do it. Unbelievable, Steve.
It's unbelievable.
It's
a scandal.
It is a huge scandal. And when I want to know, are we going to get our day in court? And you know what? The only way that we're going to get it is through grassroots organizations and marching and getting involved in party endeavors and marching to the voting booths and punching that Democratic slot. Because, folks, what's going on in the federal government in Washington under the Republican leadership is not the America that everybody's grown up with.
Right. Now, I want to talk about this free trade legislation a little bit.
Okay, now then, you're more up on that one than I am.
Okay,
I know that barely passed by one vote in the House.
Well, okay, this what I call free trade is not really, and I've heard them say that, but what is not really free trade? What it does is it's
free trade authority.
It's called fast-track trade authority.
Mm-hmm.
And fast-track means basically this, that Congress and the Senate's given up their authority to review trade agreements. They're giving that power over to the president,
mm-hmm.
okay, to the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
which the White House had before.
No, well, in some cases.
In some cases, right.
Right. It was limited.
Yeah.
Now, I want to point something out. All these people are pushing this through now in the Senate, opposed it when Clinton was in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Now
Why?
They support it.
Why?
The Republic.
Of course.
And this...
And so what that says, Steve, before you go any further, what that says is that the economic future of this country is nowhere near as important to them
as
Republican partisanship.
And power.
And
the
power.
Ability to raid the Treasury.
Raid the Treasury.
And
empty it
laws.
To their corporate coffers.
Right. And here's my contention, and it is, I think that our open trade policy, where we're taking in all these cheap imports from nations like China, okay, and third world countries where they use slave labor and
right.
all this stuff and provide no services to their
Guatemala.
People, right, and not even close to decent standards of living or anything like
Children
that.
Children are working these sweatshops
right.
for peanuts.
It's my
virtually.
It's my contention that is the primary cause of our recession, because manufacturing tanked first, and even when it's little blips up, manufacturing still seems to be tanked.
It is. It's totally tanked.
And that's the good jobs for Americans. In the long run, this will destroy America's economic health and make us weak as a country. We won't be able to defend ourselves. We won't, because we won't be able to afford to. We're going to end. This policy is almost identical. This free, so-called free trade hysteria is almost identical to the same policies pursued by Great Britain that took it from the greatest power in the world to a minor European power.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They don't. They're not even close to the strongest military or economic, especially economic power in Europe.
And the only way American companies will be able to compete is will have to be this either this very low wage service and low wage manufacturing company,
right?
With very few opportunities for the American populace, whether it's economic or educational, because you know that the Republican leadership isn't going to fund education. You don't hear anything about it now because of the war on terror.
So for you folks a little bit older, if you want your kids to have their greatest opportunity to be cooking up French fries at McDonald's, you know, you should support this.
Right.
If that's your goal, is to see that your kids are fry cooks for their whole life,
mm-hmm.
then you should be in support of this. And if not, you shouldn't. George W. has already showed that he sold himself to big business and corporate interest.
Time and time again.
Hook, line, sinker, heart and soul.
Right.
If it's
you,
all there.
If you don't know it, then you have your head in the sand.
Right. And do you want to give that?
Another
those forces control of our trade policy,
mm-hmm.
with no congressional review?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Think they'll get it, Steve?
No.
Think the Senate will think the Senate
it passed the House by one vote. Even many Republicans voted against it.
Right. How many? I think it was, I don't know, 14, I believe?
I believe more.
More?
I don't know the exact vote, how it broke down. I know that
it was a one vote
margin.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully the Senate will be able to do something about, you know, us Democrats, Steve, we put a lot, we have that one vote majority in the Senate, and we put a lot on there because they're the only bulwark against this onslaught of the Bush Republicans and their onslaught of our civil rights, our economic livelihoods, just one thing right after another.
Well, you know, I want to point something out. These senators are giving away their own authority and their own power. There might be quite a few Republicans not too hip on that.
Well, I hope so.
I want to remind these Republican senators, should any of them hear of this, that they won't hold this White House forever. Do they want to give this authority to the president? Because we're going to use it differently than they will.
Mm-hmm. To the benefit of middle Americans and average Americans and not just people that are on the high end, not just the one percenters that continually are just reaping all the profits of this kind of authority. And it's, you know, because like Steve and I have said on this program many times before, a lot of these corporations are multinational.
Yeah.
And
they have no loyalty to America.
No loyalty. And
they
sure, they'll beat the nationalistic drumbeats as long as it's in their interests, but as soon as they aren't making a profit the way that they should, they're going to pull up their stakes here for their manufacturing base and go where the labor pool is cheaper.
You realize that when the House Republicans pushed this legislation through, that they actually were going to give, as part of the economic stimulus package, tax benefits for American corporations to move abroad. That ought to help our economy.
Ladies and gentlemen, Steve and I are laughing at this because it's just so unbelievable that they put this stuff out there and then they spin it to where average citizens believe that it's somehow good for them, that they're somehow going to benefit from something like that, when the only people that are going to benefit from it are the stockholders of these large corporations.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we're just about out of time here, aren't we?
We are just about out of time. We have some more time though, Steve. So
we'll take a couple of closing comments here.
I just wanted to touch on a few things about the stimulus package once again. You know, the more that the Republicans stimulate the economy, the more that the middle and the poor people suffer.
Because what they're doing is not really stimulating the economy.
It's not stimulating. The only thing it's stimulating is the pocketbooks of the very rich, Steve.
Yeah. What it is they're raiding the treasury.
That's right. They are emptying the treasury. And what's going to happen is, say that the Republicans, say we don't get control of the Congress, and God forbid, say that they get control of the Senate. Okay, then that means that they will have complete control over the federal government. Should that happen, Steve, mm-hmm. middle class people and people that are poor are in for some extremely, extremely tough times.
We're already in for extremely tough
times. Well, I tell you what, if that happens, boy, you better start buying food and stuff, because it's going to be a lot rougher for them.
Okay, now let's talk a little bit about the internal thing on this stimulus. The whole concept. They're saying it should be tax cuts. Well, you know, here's the problem with this.
The recession started after the $1.35 billion tax, or trillion-dollar
tax. It did, but also this. Tax cuts are slow. They're not fast. They don't stimulate quickly. But what they do is they make a sea of red on the budget for years to come. So if you want to put your kids in debt, you should favor these long-term tax cuts.
It also has a horrendous psychological effect on fiscal budget policy for
now,
the future.
Now, if you spend instead, it's a one-time thing usually, unless you install ongoing programs.
Right.
Almost nothing of what I'm hearing about the spending proposals the Democrats proposed were long-term.
That's what the word stimulus means.
They're short-term, right now, and it's almost all directed at solving security issues.
Either personal defense.
Yeah, it's actually designed for homeland defense, and it's also designed to provide some benefits to some of these people, the voters, working people.
Right.
Okay, that were hurt with September 11th. Now, the Republicans took care of corporate America unbelievably out of this.
Right. And
they
and
were profiteered this to a level that I've never seen before.
And still are, Steve. And I don't think they're done.
Well, it doesn't appear that they're done.
No, it doesn't.
And it's terrible, folks. They are
criminal, in my view, Steve.
They are putting your children into debt and your grandchildren into debt.
Right.
And they're doing it for big business.
For big business.
And that's all there is to it.
And that just, okay, now that doesn't even touch on Social Security.
No.
Okay, they want to take a program that has been that's been in place since 1936, one of the greatest programs that this country has ever done for its working people, the Social Security system. Well, let me tell you something, the current Republican leadership wants to privatize it. They want to empty the Social Security fund into the stock market.
It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable. And I'll tell you what, if they get away with that and they let that happen.
I don't think they'll let that happen.
Oh, I tell you what, Steve.
Yeah.
People, I know that I get accused of fear of trying to create fear, but you know what? You should be afraid of this kind of administration, because that's exactly what they want to do, Steve. They do. They want to destroy Social Security. They want to privatize our public school system so that only the affluent or people with access to affluence will have access to employment and educational opportunities. They want to keep middle class people and poor people in poorly funded public schools so that they can keep us stupid.
You know, this is the worst administration, and this is the worst president, although he's not, in my opinion, he's still resident.
Right.
But that we've had in our history. Herbert Hoover looked good in comparison.
Herbert Hoover?
Herbert?
I always call him Hebert Hoover.
Herbert Hoover, who, for you folks who don't know much about history, was the guy that brought us the Great Depression,
right,
was a better president than George W. Bush.
I would favor Hoover's policies more so than the current Bush economic policies.
I can hardly see the difference. I've looked at them. I can't hardly see the difference.
There is no difference.
In the 1920s,
his and Reagan's, that's for sure.
And, you know, it's taken us back to the 1920s in a lot of ways, because back in the 1920s, there was the Palmer Raids, where another out-of-control attorney general, who I thought we would never have an attorney general this bad again, Palmer looks like a saint compared to Ashcroft, was rounding up anybody who was a political dissident and locking them up. It was the great Red Scare of the 1920s,
mm-hmm.
Okay?
No habeas corpus, no nothing.
They executed a couple of guys who were anarchists, Sacco and Vanzetti, on evidence
trumped up charges
that were, yeah, and they got the death penalty.
So what happened to Palmer? He lived a nice quiet life in seclusion after his
I don't know,
after he was an attorney general.
I actually don't know the history of Palmer. I do know that the judge that tried Sacco and Vanzetti had his house blown up.
Mm.
You know, later.
A little retribution there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somebody. It wasn't Sacco and Vanzetti who did it, because
right,
they were dead.
Dead.
You know, they were dead, and I do believe they were innocent.
Unbelievable.
You know, I'm not an opponent of the death penalty, but I'm sure an opponent of executing innocent people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I happen to be an opponent of the death penalty, but
well,
that's another show.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, Even you would probably execute Bin Laden.
Yes, even and Timothy McVeigh.
Yeah.
You know, and in extreme cases like that, Steve, I do support the death penalty. But
then, you
for
know,
almost for almost every other one, I am totally against it. It's barbaric.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it should be a usual, normal,
punishment
everyday punishment for a crime. But I do think there are many circumstances when it should. And, you know, well, I hope we can cover some more stuff. We're about out of time.
Wait.
But I would love to get back in and talk a little bit, maybe next week, a little bit about this John Walker guy.
Unbelievable. Isn't that just, it's so unbelievable, Steve.
Yeah. I don't know what that kid was.
I'm just flummoxed.
Yeah.
Over that entire thing.
I can't believe this guy did this.
I can't either. It's just unbelievable.
I would like to.
But, you know, with some of the aspects of our culture, part of me says, Al, you shouldn't be that surprised by this because
we have crazies.
We have crazies. I mean, look at the Republican Party.
Now look at Eric Rudolph.
Yeah.
You know?
Eric Rudolph, exactly.
You know,
or this new guy, Wagoner, who sent all those anthrax hoaxes to abortion clinics all across the country.
Or whatever right-wing nut is sending the real anthrax.
Right, right. That guy, too. I mean, Ashcroft, please, try to find this guy.
That guy who sent, right, he's a right-winger.
Yeah.
Whoever sent us a right-winger, I don't think we're getting nothing about Ashcroft.
And the guy that sent us that letter back in July.
Right, which we've talked about before.
Right.
We'll talk, next week we'll tell the story again.
Right. Well, Steve, thank you once again. It's always a pleasure coming down here and talking to you. And we're going to continue to work as hard as we can and as much as we can possibly do to keep the message and the truth out on the surface as to what the Bush Republicans and the current Republican leadership really stand for, Steve.
There's never enough time.
Never is. Never is.
And hey, just tell the folks, let me drop us an email through our website if you've read any of the letters that I sent out on national health insurance as a defense, as a defense issue. Against biological attack, because we basically are going to send that to all 50 states.
Now, my email address on the site isn't up to date. It goes to your site. It doesn't directly come to me.
No, you can, if you want to send anything to Al, feel free to send it to me, and I will give it to you.
I'll just go ahead and give my website or my email address.
Cool.
If you'd like to email me, my email address is allaw@fayelectric.com.
Spell Fay Electric for us.
FAYELECTRIC.
Okay.
.com.
So,
allaw@fayelectric.com.
Good.
Love to hear from you, and I will answer as many as I possibly can. I'm kind of slow. I talk better than I type, so.
Yeah. Well, I type better than, I don't type very good, but I write
You write pretty good. You write a lot. You write real good.
Actually, I'm not very good at any of this. About the only reason I'm a decent talk show host, I got a lot of opinions and a big mouth.
Well, Steve, you know, you and I are just a couple of bluegrass guys that started this program because of what happened on December the 12th.
Yeah.
And as long as that isn't overturned or at least not investigated, you and I have made a promise and a pledge to each other that we are not going to give this up until these rights are wrong.
Right. Because you know what?
Or until these wrongs are righted, excuse me.
I know exactly. Well, one thing about it, and I'll tell one thing out, there's nothing more important to us than America, and nothing more important than our Constitution, and Al and I are willing to die for it.
That's right. And for anyone, especially John Ashcroft, to question our patriotism or people that think like us, let me tell you something. I've been flying the American flag out in front of my house every day since 1985, and that's where it's going to stay.
And I've got one on the wall.
On the wall in your living room, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, and it's going to be there as long as I own the house.
That's right, and I tell you what, like many, many Americans, I have cried tears over what's happened in the last year to this country.
Yeah,
I really have, and that includes the terrorist attacks and what happened on December the 12th and everything in between and after 9/11, because all those events and what those people did and all the people that they murdered, that will be answered for. And Steve and I strongly support our military and our boys over there that are making this fight, and we just want you folks to know that the ones that we're against are the Bush policies and the Republican leadership that have taken control of this country illegally.
Yeah, and I want to point out, as many people have been dropping me emails saying I'm a liberal. I'm not a liberal, folks. I'm a conservative. But I'll tell you something. I love this country and I love our freedoms. And to me, the Constitution and everything is right up there with God. And it's right up there with my family, you know, and there's nothing that I wouldn't do for
it's the most important document I've ever read.
And there's nothing I wouldn't do for my nation.
That's right. You know. Well, Steve, once again, if for some reason we don't get back to the folks and say hello to them before the holidays, I'd just like to wish everybody the very best of the holiday season. And please be safe out there. Mm-hmm. And we'll look forward to talking to you again.
And one more, we'll give one little thank you out there. Thank you, Stuart Ruffner, for posting our, so doing all this hard work on
Stuart's
our website.
Stuart's the best, man.
He's the best.
He is.
And Stuart, we haven't called you recently, but we will, and hopefully we can get you back on the program.
Yeah, that'd be great. And Steve, we'll talk to you soon.